Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40. The verse says, "And as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus said that when he was going to die, he was going to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Tonight we're going to be talking about the 3 days and three nights during the crucifixion week. And something that's very helpful and very important for us to understand. As you look at my quick little chart here on the board, you will realize most people believe Jesus died on Friday. All right? If Jesus died on Friday, you count 3 days and three nights, even if you counted Friday as part of the day, but he wasn't in the grave then. I mean, they didn't put him in the grave until the very, very end of Friday. All right? So if you said that, it'd be a dinky little bit of Friday, and then you'd have Saturday, but still no night for Sunday. So it doesn't work. You can't get 3 days and three nights out of that. All right? So I don't believe that he died on Friday. I believe he died on Wednesday. I'm going to explain why. Could be Thursday, but more likely Wednesday. Thursday, you'd have to use partial days. Wednesday, you can use full days to explain it. Now, one of the things that's very important, and you got to put your thinker on, because this is a little bit, makes us think a little bit. All right? In the Jewish calendar, all right, the Jews, when they started their day, all right, let me start out, maybe I should start out this way. When we start our day, what time does the day start? What time did Sunday start today? What time today? 12:01 or 1 second after 12 last night was Sunday. All right? So our day starts at midnight. The Jewish day started at 6 p.m. Okay? Important for us to see that. So at 6 p.m., the Jewish calendar started. All right? So at 6 p.m. Now, that's a good question. And I can't answer it. I don't know. I think so. Because it doesn't really change anything. It's just how you think about the day. All right? So it started at 6 p.m. Morning then was at 6 a.m. All right? So 6 p.m. started their day. Now, with that in mind, this was night, this was day. For us, day comes first. When you have Sunday, we always say, well, it's Sunday and then Sunday night. So we look at it as Sunday day and then Sunday night. Where they looked at it as Sunday night, Sunday day. All right? The night comes first because it starts at 6 in the evening. So right now it's 25 to 7. So we would be in Monday. We would be in what would be Monday night. So Monday night starts before Monday morning in the Jewish mind. All right? Now that's kind of confusing, but if you get that into your head, it'll help you understand the crucifixion week much better. All right? And I'll try to make it as simple as possible here as I explain this. But this is the key thing to help you understand. Because if you don't get this, the rest of it will kind of be all muddy. All right. So the day starts at 6. Now, on Wednesday, the first day, all right, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just go back, and those of you who are quick enough to find things, go back to the book of Exodus. All right. Most of you are able to do that. Exodus chapter 12. And let me show you a couple of things here. In Exodus chapter 12, Exodus 12 is where is recorded the first Passover. Remember, what was the Passover about? When God passed over the houses of the children of Israel and judgment was coming and the death angel came and killed all the people of Israel that were their firstborn. All right, the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, look at verse number 6. Exodus 12, 6 says, "And ye shall keep it." All right, he's talking about the lamb. Verse 5, he talks about getting a lamb without blemish and a male of the first year. "And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two posts, side posts and the upper door post of the house wherein ye shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it." All right, now let's take a look at our little diagram here. So if this was the 14th of Nisan, all right, the 14th, they said they were to take the lamb, they were to keep the lamb until the 14th. And on the 14th, in the evening, the Hebrew word means between the evenings. And I've done quite a bit of studying on that. They think that between the evenings would have been between 3 and 6 p.m. All right, so it was sometime between 3 and 6 p.m., let's just say 3 o'clock for the sake of it. All right, so, wait a minute, this is getting me confused here. Follow my notes. It is confusing when you're trying to back this thing up and figure these things out. So 6 p.m. Okay, so that's way down here then. All right, so 3 p.m. 3 in the afternoon anyway is over here. Okay, so they killed the lamb at about 3 in the afternoon on the 14th, but they kept it until then. So they killed it about 3 in the afternoon, and then they ate it that night. That night would have been here. All right, they ate it that night, which would have been the first, it would have been on the 15th when they actually ate it. So after 6 o'clock, they would eat it after they had killed it in the afternoon. Got it ready, cooked it, and they ate it that night. All right, so they ate it on the 15th. Now, with those things in mind, it'll help you to understand that. Leviticus chapter 23 also tells us the same thing. Leviticus 23, let me just read a couple of verses there, and it'll help you to understand this better. Leviticus 23, verses 5 through 7. Leviticus 23, 5 says, "In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." All right, so that the evening of the 15th or 14th, so about between 3 and 6 o'clock was the evening of that day. And that was the Lord's Passover. That was the time there to get this ready. And you must eat unleavened bread. And the first day you shall have an holy convocation, and there should be no servile work. That means it was a Sabbath day. All right? Now, that's something important for you to remember, too. Sabbath was usually on Saturdays. The Sabbath means a day of rest. But they had Sabbath other days that were Sabbath days, holidays, special days, like the first day of the unleavened bread holiday was a Sabbath day. Right? It was a day of rest. So here was a day of rest, and there was to be no work done on that day. But ye shall offer the offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days, and the seventh day is a holy convocation, and there should be no servile work. So on the first day and the seventh day was to be a Sabbath day. During the week of the unleavened bread. Now, the Bible describes, let me just talk a little bit about these holidays. Remember when Jesus first gave them this Passover, he said the Passover's on the 14th, you're to kill the lamb, that night you're to eat it, and for that next week, for 7 days, there was to be a 7-day holiday called the time of unleavened bread. All right, what is leaven? Okay, leaven is yeast. So they were not to have any yeast in their bread for 7 days. They were to eat unleavened bread, and they were to remember. This was a time when they were to remember what happened when they left Egypt. When they left Egypt, they had to leave in a hurry. They didn't have any leaven. They didn't make any leavened cakes. So that whole week, that first week, they had no leavening in their meals. During that time, they were escaping. They were running away for their lives, getting away from Egypt. And the Passover and unleavened bread is a time of remembrance of those things. So the Jews today, when they have the Passover and unleavened bread, it is the same thing. It's remembering way back when Moses brought them out of Egypt, they passed over, when the angel passed over them, didn't kill them, and they left Egypt, and they ate no leavened bread for a whole week during that week. So this was what the week was. Now, in the New Testament, it appears that they, by this time, were referring to the whole time as the unleavened bread feast. All right, including the Passover, because the disciples mention, we'll read in just a moment, they mention preparing for the Passover on the first day of unleavened bread. Well, technically, the first day of unleavened bread was the day after the Passover, but they've grouped it all together. You know how we do that sometimes, where you just, you know, this is Easter, or you know, in our in our human society here, we've got a whole holiday that is several days, and we just call it Easter holiday, but it's actually only Sunday is Easter. All right, it's kind of the same thing. They seem to be calling the unleavened bread the whole, kind of the name for the whole time, including the Passover day. So the Passover was on the 14th, and then unleavened bread was the rest of the time. All right, so this was unleavened bread. Okay, and this one here was a Passover. Okay, the 14th was the Passover. They killed the lamb on the Passover day, and that night they ate the bread. So that night would have been Thursday in their thinking. It would have been Thursday, starting at 6 p.m., became Thursday. All right, so then they ate that, and then that took place on the Thursday. Now, as we fit this all together with Christ's crucifixion, it's important we see this. I want to show you some verses here, and you can write them down and look them up. It'll help you. Matthew 26, Matthew chapter 26, and this is recorded in each one of the Gospels with slightly different wording. So I'll give you the references. We probably won't look at all of them, but you can look at them and it'll be help, or you can download the notes off the web and that can be a help to you as well. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 17. Matthew 26, 17. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Right. So what was it? When did they do it? The first day of unleavened bread. So they included the Passover day in the day of unleavened bread. So they like I said, they're just kind of giving it all the umbrella of the unleavened bread holiday. All right. And so they said, where are we going to prepare to eat the Passover? Now, there's a big discussion and debate, and nobody really has an answer for it. Did Jesus eat the Passover meal with his disciples the night that he gave them the Lord's Supper? Nobody knows for sure. My guess is that he did not. And here's the reason. Because the chief priests told Pilate, and Pilate says, bring your prisoner into me. And they said, no, Pilate, we can't come in there because we don't want to come into your court or we will defile ourselves and we want to be able to eat the Passover. And if we come in there, we'll defile ourselves. So they were saying we can't because we'll get defiled. Right now, there's two possibilities with that. It could be that the meal that Jesus ate was just a meal in preparation for this holiday week of the Passover, where the actual eating of the lamb would have taken place on the night of the 15th, not the night of the 14th, when Jesus ate with his disciples. All right, that's a possibility. Or it could be that he did eat of that meal with his disciples, and the meal that the Pharisees were talking about was just the rest of the week. There was meals and things like that during the unleavened bread week that would have all included other things, and they didn't want to be defiled for that whole time. But I think, in my own mind anyway, my thinking is it's easier to believe that Jesus didn't actually eat the lamb meal with his disciples, although they ate a meal together that was part of this unleavened bread Passover week. Okay, but either way, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. It's just, I throw that out, so if you read that, you think, oh, this isn't making sense. That's why, all right? Because there's those two different views on it. But here he talks about this, of how it's on that first day, and they're preparing to eat together. And Jesus tells them, go into the city, and you'll find this guy that'll lead you to this house, and you go there and prepare and make ready for the Passover with us. So this is mentioned there in Matthew 26, 17 and 19. It's also mentioned in Mark 14, 1, 12 and 14 and 16. So it's 1 to 16 is really that deals with it. It deals with the first day of unleavened bread and the Passover. Mark 14, 1 to 16. And then Luke 22, 1 to 15. Luke 22, 1 to 15 deals with the same thing. And then John 18, 28. John 18, 28. Now, during that night, Jesus is there with his disciples, and they are eating a meal together. And it was at that time when Jesus gave them this memorial of the Lord's Supper. It was the night before his crucifixion. It would have been the night that they would have been eating here. They would have been eating the Lord's Supper right here. Okay? The evening of the 14th. Remember, the evening comes before the morning, and that really boggles the brain. I still have a hard time getting my brain around that. But the evening comes before the day. So they would have eaten it there some time with the Lord. Make sure I'm giving you the right information here. Yeah, it would have been sometime in the evening here that they ate. And then after the Lord's Supper, and after he gave them to his disciples, well, during this time, I believe it appears that in John chapter 13, verse 29, it appears that Judas left before he gave them the supper. Some people say, no, it was after he gave them the supper, but it appears that it was before the supper that Judas left. And one of the things that's significant in that verse, John 13, 28, this is one that I found that I thought was kind of interesting, that helped with some of these difficult thoughts. John 13, verse number 29, it says, and some the disciples were saying, well, I wonder why Judas left. Some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus said to him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. All right, so Judas got up and left, and they didn't really know why he left. They thought, well, maybe he's getting things ready for the week, this feast week. All right, so again, that's why it wasn't just the Passover meal that was the big deal. They had a whole week. It was a week-long holiday, a whole week-long holiday of Passover week and unleavened bread. The Passover and unleavened bread were all one big long week of holiday, and they thought Judas was going out to get some things ready. He had forgotten to buy some stuff, and so Jesus sent him out to go buy some stuff. And they just didn't catch on that Judas was the one that was going to betray Jesus. And so they had the Lord's Supper that night, and we'll look more at that at the end of our service tonight when we go into the Lord's Supper. But then Jesus had his talks with the disciples. And you'll read there in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, Jesus is spending those five chapters talking to his disciples the night before the crucifixion. The night before the crucifixion. Chapter 14 is an excellent chapter. That's a great one to study. There's loads of stuff in it that'll help you. It talks about the Holy Spirit coming and all kinds of things. Jesus was giving them comfort. Chapter 17 was Jesus' prayer. He's up on the Mount of Olives. He's there in the garden praying. And it was the Garden of Gethsemane was a garden full of huge old olive trees. Big old olive trees. Big ones that had been there for centuries. And he was there in the garden praying. And it was there that he was captured. But that night, as he was praying in the garden there, this was after his talk with his disciples. So it's first. But anyway, chapter 17 deals with his prayer. I think that prayer was before he got to the garden. Maybe I was wrong. I think that prayer was before he got to the garden. And then he prayed in the garden about his crucifixion coming. But he was anticipating it. It was all that same night. And he prays in chapter 17, talks to the Father about his disciples, and he talked to them about us. He mentions us in there and as he's talking to his disciples in chapter 17 of John. And then late that night, we don't know what time, but late that night, probably closer to midnight or after midnight, Jesus was captured. All right? So the night's wearing on, and it's very late at night. That's why Jesus is praying, and what's all the disciples do? If you girls are cold, you can shut the door. Are you cold? Okay. Jesus was praying, what's his disciples doing? They're all sleeping. Why? Well, it's late at night. I mean, it might have been real late. It might have been after midnight. We don't know for sure. But then all the soldiers come, grab Jesus, take him in, and the rest of the night they spent in a false accusation time against Jesus. They're trying to find witnesses that can condemn him. Now, that was all illegal. It was illegal among the Jews. You couldn't have a court of law in the middle of the night. That was illegal. And all the things they were doing were illegal. It was not right what they were doing. It was a trumped-up court. It was a false accusations. They were doing all kinds of things that were not right that night as they were examining Jesus. And then we find that the next morning, that when it's early morning, they take Jesus to Pilate. And so it's first thing early in the morning, they wake Pilate up and tell him, that they got this prisoner they want condemned. All right. And so this is all taking place in the night. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7 is another verse that is good to note right here, because it tells us something about Christ. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ our Passover. He was called the Passover. He was the one that was called. The whole picture of the Old Testament Passover was a picture of Christ. And you think about the Passover, what took place on the Passover day? The death angel passed over them. Why? Because the blood was painted on the doorpost. And as Christ, as God looks at us, the blood of Jesus Christ, it needs to be painted on the sides and the top of our doorpost of our heart. If the blood of Christ is painted on our heart, in so to speak, then the death angel that will send people to hell will pass over us. We will be exempt. We will go to heaven. We'll be with God forever. The blood must be applied or the death angel will take us. And that is true for us today. The same kind of a picture that was taken way back in the Old Testament when they left Egypt. That picture is still true today, that God's judgment will be upon those that do not have the blood of Christ on their life. So it was the blood of Jesus. Remember, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus was the Lamb of God. Now, many people, including me, believe that Jesus died at 3 o'clock or shortly after, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon on the 14th. The same time that they would have been killing their lamb for the Passover meal. And Jesus was the ultimate Passover lamb. He was the one and only final Passover lamb that died that day in place of the real lamb. He was the Lamb of God that died that day for their sins. And so Jesus died on the afternoon, in our thinking, the afternoon of the 14th. And then they had a requirement to get him buried before the end of the day. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Now let's look at the crucifixion time. Mark chapter 15, verse number 25, tells us the time of the crucifixion. Mark 15, 25. Mark 15, 25. Okay, Mark 15, 25 says, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." The third hour. Now, what do they mean by the third hour? All right, remember, the day begins at, it was the third hour of the day. All right, so the daylight hours begin at 6 o'clock. So the third hour, 7, 8, 9. So it's 9 o'clock in the morning. All right, 9 o'clock in the morning is when they crucified him, and it says that the sky became dark at the sixth hour. That would be noon. All right, so darkness came upon the earth at noon, and then at 9 in the morning they crucified him, and he was still alive at 12. It became dark, and then at 3 o'clock. He died. All right? So he was on the cross for those 6 hours. So 9 until 3 on the cross. Right. And so Jesus died that day on the cross in our place about 3 o'clock in the afternoon or thereabouts. All right, now, there's several verses that talk about the crucifixion, and Matthew chapter 27. In verse number 45 is one of them, Matthew 27, 45. And if you're trying to take notes, it'd be a whole lot easier to get all the details off of the information on the web. That would be easier. But Matthew 27, verse number 45 says, "And now the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Which is that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man cries for Elias." And straightway, Now Elias would be Elijah. They thought he was trying to call for Elijah for help. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. Now why would they put vinegar on it? Why not water? Well, vinegar was a sedative. It was to help to help ease the pain. It was just fermented grape juice. It would have been somewhat, perhaps even somewhat alcoholic, the strong vinegar of the grape juice that they would put on it to try to help deaden the pain. And he refused it at first. When they first gave it to him earlier, before they nailed him to the cross, they offered him vinegar and he wouldn't take it because he was going to take the pain in full. And now he took a sip of this to clear his throat. At this point, after you've been on the cross for 6 hours, your blood is drained out, you're exhausted, absolutely exhausted, your tongue would have been swollen. Most people couldn't even speak, let alone say anything loud, because of the agony and the pain and all that was going on in this time. And he refreshes his mouth and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, just shortly after that, he gave up the ghost and died. All right. So this was the crucifixion. John chapter 19, verse 31 deals with the same thing. And then we find that about 5 p.m., they buried him. All right. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 54. Luke 23, verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. All right, now, they're getting ready to bury him. In verses earlier there, in verse 50, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and it was a good man and a just, and the same was did not consent and so on. And verse number 52, and he went unto Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down, and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher, and hewn out of stone. But then the verse I wanted you to see there is verse 54, and it was a preparation for, and the Sabbath drew on. Now see, this is the verse why most people think Jesus died on Friday. Because they say the Sabbath drew on. They were getting ready to bury him. The next day is going to be the Sabbath day. So therefore, it had to be Friday. But they're forgetting that in this particular year, there was at least two Sabbaths during this week. Because this day, Thursday, was the first day of unleavened bread. And that was a day they were to do no work. It was a Sabbath. So this was called the High Sabbath. You read it in the scripture they mentioned. The next day was a High Sabbath. It was a High Sabbath because it was not the normal Sabbath. It was an unusual Sabbath. It was a holiday Sabbath. So this was the Sabbath that was drawing on. So they had to get him buried before 6 p.m. because that's when the next day started. The Sabbath started on 6 p.m. and you couldn't work then. That's why they had to have all the food prepared before. And then as soon as it was 6 p.m., then you could sit down and eat your food, but you couldn't prepare it on the Sabbath day because that was against the law. You couldn't cook your food. You could eat, yes, take care of necessities of life, but do nothing else. And so they had to have it all ready before sundown. So Jesus had to be buried before sundown. So sometime between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, they buried him. Now, it wouldn't have been right at 3 because they had to make sure he was dead. And remember, Pilate, in one of the other passages, Pilate sends off to the soldier and said, hey, is this guy really dead already? And the soldier said, yes, sir, he's dead. He's dead. I confirm it. And how did they know he was dead? Remember, one of the soldiers took a spear and ran it up into his side, and out came water and blood. And the soldier said, yep, this guy's dead. We don't need to break his legs because he's dead. And they broke the legs of the other two that were on the cross. Why would they break their legs? The reason they would break their legs is because, remember, they're hanging on the cross like this. The only way they could breathe is to push up with their feet and pull up with their hands and take a breath and go down. If you break their legs, they can't push up anymore. And their arms aren't strong enough to pull their body up. And they'll suffocate within minutes. All right? So they would break their legs so that they could no longer pull themselves and push themselves up for a breath of air. And they would die. All right? But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead, didn't have to break his legs. Because they didn't break any of his bones of his body. The Bible tells that back in Psalms and other places. It says that no bones would be broken. They were out of joint, yes, but not broken. All right? So Jesus died, and it was confirmed. They took him down off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus buried him in a tomb. Now remember, they didn't bury like we do today. They didn't dig a hole in the ground, but it was a cave in the mountain. And the poor people, if I understand it right, the poor people would dig a hole in the ground like we would do today. The richer people that had caves that they had dug out of the limestone, they would dig these caves out and make a bed in there, and they put their dead relatives in there. And this one cave would hold many bodies of people that were in this cave. And if some of them died close together, it's probably not a very nice job to have to put them in there because the other place would be kind of smelly. But they would lay them in there. That's why they would put spices on their bodies to keep them from being too smelly when they started to decay. And so that's why the ladies, when you find out when Mary and the other ladies went to the tomb on Sunday morning, they were carrying what? Spices to put on the body of Jesus to keep it from smelling bad as long as possible. So they would do that, and it was a time of mourning. But then after about 3 days, remember when Lazarus was dead 4 days, they said, "Lord, you can't open that tomb up anymore because by now he stinks." So apparently they were allowed to open the tomb up for the first 2 or 3 days, but after that they said, "No, it's too late now. You can't open the tomb up because even the spices don't cut the smell. He's starting to decay." All right. And so Jesus was in there. They were taking the spices over there to put on his body. And that would have been, they couldn't do it on the Sabbath day. They may have done it on the Friday, but they may have done it again on Sunday. All right. Some people say that if you calculate this differently, that this was the Passover Sabbath and this was the first day of unleavened bread Sabbath. That's a possibility too. And I'm, to tell you the truth, I'm not smart enough to tell you one way or the other, all right? It could be, all right? But either way, they were preparing, they may have put spices on it on Friday and then again on Sunday, okay? But they were coming on Sunday morning, and then on Sunday morning, they get there early at daybreak. Sometime then during the night, all right, after 6 p.m., all right, 6 p.m. Sunday, that would have been, in our mind, that would have been Saturday night, but it's Sunday morning to them. Sometime after 6 p.m. Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. Before 6 p.m. in the morning, or 6 a.m. All right? They went early in the morning. By daybreak, he was already risen. Sometime during this time, he rose from the dead. Now, it may have been closer to morning. It may have been closer to the evening. We don't know. But my guess is it was during the night. It was dark. And during that time, the soldiers saw this earthquake, they saw the shining things, and they just took off and fled. They were terrified. And by the time the ladies got there, the stone was rolled away, there's nobody around, and they discovered the body was gone. Okay? All right. Now, I've covered this thing kind of rapidly, but I hope you get the picture here tonight of what took place that week when Christ was crucified.